If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We're joined now by Steve McMichael's longtime teammate, close friend, and fellow Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Dan, thank you for joining us this morning. It's a sad time, but it's also a good time to think back on all the years we had Steve McMichael around to make us smile. And he did a lot of that, didn't he?
Yes, sir, he did. Hey, good morning, Bob, Andy. Two things. Number one, I don't think anybody's shocked by this. I mean, we knew it was coming, and in actuality, he's in a much better place because this was 4 years of hell. We all know that, and it was bad. But he's in a better place, and he's with some of his former teammates. You know, and so all I can solace myself with is the fact that, as you said, I had him for 40 years as. My wingman, and I sure love him. Yeah.
Hey, Hamp, the personality kind of was his trademark, I believe. You know, he was Mongo, and everybody wanted to be around him and loved his shoot from the hip kind of mentality. But I think that kind of got in the way of the fact that this was a really good football player, wasn't he?
If you go and you kind of do a deep dive on his numbers, the stats, all those things, you know. The people in Canton, Ohio, they don't care if you got five nicknames, and everybody thinks that you do a great job on TV or whatever. They want to know, what were you able to do on the football field? And if you look at it, he was a special player. And the thing that, you know, I just can't get over is the fact, you know, my little crummy career, I mean, I had a bunch of gaps where I missed 3 weeks with knee surgery or this or that. Steve never missed a game in like 190 games. I cannot fathom the fact that he was so reliable. And he brought it not only every week, he brought it every day in practice. You know, back then we had to practice and kind of earn your keep, if you will. And Coach Dick said, you play the way you practice. And we believed it, and we went out and had to do it on a day-to-day basis, and Steve sure, certainly did it. I just think the real simple, rule of thumb about how great he was is the fact that the Hall of Fame's been going for a long time, and never has the team had three players on the same position, inducted from the same team until Steve was the third. You know, obviously myself and Richard, but Steve warranted such great recognition that we all saw it happen last August, and it obviously was bittersweet that he couldn't be in Canton, but he knew in his heart of hearts that finally that his dream had come true.
Dan, picking up on Andy's point, Steve McMichael was actually a lot smaller than the average tackle, wasn't he? Which makes it even more incredible how durable the guy was.
He really was, but he was extremely powerful. You know, I remember he'd put 500 pounds on the bench press, and he'd kind of bounce a little bit. But, he could do it three times. If I bounced it once, it collapsed my chest. I mean, we had a weekly bouts in the weight room where we power cleaned and did squats. And Steve was a powerhouse. And, a lot of folks, want to recognize that defense of ours has been, so special. Well, in 79, I was the defensive player of the year in the Southwest Conference. The next year, Steve was the defensive player. And the third year was Mike Singletary. And we were kind of like the core of that defense. And it really worked out well for us. But in a big picture way, I just know this, as Steve kind of, his illness crept on, he was overwhelmed by the wonderful support and love all the fans showed him. And, till his dying day, I know he was so appreciative of the fact that he was able to play and live in the great city of Chicago with the greatest fans.
Ham, what was it actually like to play right beside him? I know you guys were both a handful for any offensive line, but what was that like playing right next to him?
Well, how about the guy on the other side, Richard Dent?
He wasn't bad either.
And what about the fridge? I mean, I mean, it was an embarrassment of riches, if you will, and opponents. You know, okay, who are you going to block? Who are you going to double team? Who are you going to try to run away from? And Steve was that kind of player. I know this, that if you look in, you know, I think he's second all-time on the Bears quarterback sacks list. And as a defensive tackle, there's no, you know, you blitz twice a game and the quarterback falls down in front of you. That doesn't happen. I mean, it's a lot of hard work to get back there and get him on the ground. And Steve did it better than anybody in Chicago Bears history except a guy named Richard Dent.
And I'm smiling because I'm reading the quote from Steve McMichael, and he kept his sense of humor even through these difficult days. When he was first diagnosed, he said, "I thought I was ready for anything, but man, this will sneak up on you like a cheap shot in Green Bay Packer." Dan, did he retain that sense of humor as you saw him through these difficult years? And I know you often visited him. And how aware was he of his Hall of Fame induction? Was he totally aware of that?
Absolutely. That's the insidious thing about this disease, ALS. Everything else goes to hell but your brain and your awareness. And obviously, I understand that people say that, folks, when you lose your hearing, your eyesight becomes better and more acute, that kind of thing. Well, he was, you know, critically aware of not only the fact that, you know, the fans of Chicago and the groundswell of support for him and leading up to the voting, but the fact that, you know, the actual voting committee in Canton, the Hall of Fame, the 50 members, they were basically kind of, what would you say? They bought in and they realized how special of a player he was. And he really appreciated that. But the last couple of years, he couldn't communicate. Only by, you know, kind of doing his eyes, you know, eyebrows and things like that. And then the old blink once for yes, blink twice for no. And at the end of the day, he made the best of it through all conditions. You know, there was a movie long ago called Lonesome Dove. And at the very end, when one of the main characters died, they put on his tombstone, he was of great character and great spirit through all kinds of weather. Well, Steve went through 4 years of horrible weather, and it never got him down until the very end.
Steve McMichael, he definitely fought ALS with the same tenacity he showed for 15 seasons in the NFL. Well, now it's on to the draft, and I know you will be talking about that with your buddy Ed Obradovich and Andy Mazur Saturday afternoon here on the radio. So before we let you go today, Dan, who are you hoping the Bears get in this draft?
Well, you know, as recent as last night, the hot rumor is they may be trying to package a couple of the number twos to go with the 10th pick in the first round and move up and get Ashton Janty, the running back from Boise State, a special player. And I thought, how quaint. You know, 50 years after the organization drafted a guy named Walter Payton, that they would move up to go and find a running back that they felt could be their bell cow, their leader on offense, with Caleb Williams. And, yeah, we don't know. But I'll tell you this, guys. This is a different draft than any I can remember, 20, 30, 40 years, because last year the quarterbacks were special, and the teams realized that, and they made a run on them. There were six of them drafted the first 12 picks in the first round. All of these quarterbacks in this draft, they wouldn't have been drafted maybe until the second or third or fourth round if they came out a year, you know, later, or if they would have been drafted, you know, last year. So the point being is, are you just going to reach out of necessity? Are you really, you know, going to accept a lesser product? And we don't know. Tennessee, they drafted Will Levis 3 years ago. He has been a disappointment. They've got the first overall pick. If they go with Abdul Carter, a great defensive edge player, then it's who's going to be the next guy that takes the chance? And Cam Ward is supposedly, you know, the odds-on favorite to be the first overall pick. I'm not so sure. I've watched him play. It's not special. And there is, you know, a number of special players that could fall to the Bears. Now, don't be shocked if we stay at number 10 and Will Anderson, the big offensive tackle, is gone, and some of the other special players, that they do not reach for a tight end. You know, Loveland, the kid in Michigan, is a special player, and Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Think about this. Ben Johnson, he loves to run two tight ends in his offense like 60% of the time. Yeah, we've got one, but we need another. Don't be shocked if we go for a tight end in the first round if we stay put at the 10th pick.
Hamp OB and Andy Mazur with a lot more on the draft Saturday afternoon on WGN between 3 and 5. Go Bears. Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Thank you. God bless our friend Steve McMichael.
We will never forget good old number 76.